My name is Aram, my pronouns are he, him, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Kill Every Monster. When we were trying to work out the Incubus, we ran into a lot of roadblocks. Dylan and I just weren't sure how to get around all of the problematic nature of the Incubus and still make it a fun encounter that fit what we felt the core character was about. And so when we tossed it to Mike, he turned to us and he was like, "What if you make him a lawyer?" And we knew that that's exactly what we had to do. So sometimes this show is made at the table in the moment, and sometimes this show is made through careful planning to make sure that the fun we have at our table doesn't hurt us or any of our listeners. So what follows is just raw audio of that, of us working out how we're going to play this, going on a couple tangents, and working together to make the game and the story better for everyone. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it informs some of the process of how we make our show. And thank you for listening to Kill Every Monster.
I was going to say, one of the things I was going to do to help, like, kind of flip this Incubus succubus thing on its head is I was going to specifically play an Incubus that isn't out to sleep or do anything sexual with the person I'm facing.
I think that's a great place to start off with it. The difficulty, like I said, the major reason
how do you
I
make
wanted
it
to have
super
this...
queer, which is what it should be, and have it non-sexual? Is that what you're saying?
No. I was going to say, how do you create the antagonism? Right? Like, we have to have the situation where these two characters are going to come into direct conflict, and creating a situation where, like, because quite frankly, if you're just quietly convincing people to do bad, it's hard to create a situation where you're being hunted aside from you are being hunted for who or what you are.
Yeah.
Or you are doing the hunting and then someone finds out what they've been hunted by and then it turns violent and bad.
I like the idea that the succubi tap into this, you know, idea, it's almost like this innate sexuality, like there's no judgment on their parts. It's just part of kind of who they are. Yeah. Right. But also that they might then be particularly sensitive when people misuse that. It's not like they're not just innately sexual and it's always bad. Like, they're innately sexual and they respect it and it's like part of them. And if someone was to, like, you know, break a covenant, like, it would be particularly egregious to them. So they might seek retribution against someone who is doing something like that. That's kind of the thought I had, but I don't know. Yeah. It's all kind of a
do we
challenge
the angle
area
of almost like, I know, Aram, this is going to sort of echo the hag encounter a little bit. And, like, these two might be fucking back-to-back episodes. So just fucking work with me on the pitch and tell me if it sucks. Do we go basically post-seduction? Like, did you do something terrible?
Oh, it's already happened.
You did something terrible at the Incubus's suggestion. And you are now realizing, like, this is the point where you've unraveled, like, oh my God, you made me do it. Mm-hmm. And we can do that conversation of, like, I did not make you do anything.
Oh, I'd have to play the fucking gaslight. Well, I mean, I knew that going in, but
I mean, that's also...
I'm going to need a shower after this.
All of my characters are, in general, bad people. Bad soul. This would be a bad person who just needed a suggestion, a bad person who truly believes themselves good, who truly believes themselves pious, right? The worst kind of bad person.
Put the question to me, this is 100% a monster, but it's the best kind of monster because at the end of the day, what the Incubus is doing is finding someone who they feel should be punished or has the potential to need to be punished and pushing them to do the thing that results in punishment. It's not that you're evil. Maybe you have an impulse where you're, like, really, really angry. You want to fucking knock out your boss because he's an asshole, but you don't do it. But the Incubus sees the thought in your head and basically it's the thought crime thing. Like, I know you want to, so I'm going to make you so that you can be punished. They're both evil, but they're, like,
as far as a mechanic thing, Incubus should always be able to detect surface thoughts. They should just be
able
to detect
thoughts. Should be
thoughts
in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, detect surface thoughts, the kiss. In my mind, an idea to also kind of change up things on the kiss is, what if, like, in folklore, a succubus took away your vitality. What if it kind of worked like a shade where you lost, like, either you aged a little bit or you lost a bit of a stat and you have to have like lesser restoration fix it? But anyway, back to the story idea. What if, so you're thinking of playing like a character, you're playing a character that's just a shitty human being.
Yes.
And yeah, he needs to get taught a lesson for it. Yep. Yeah. Like my character's like, this is a bad, bad boy that needs a lesson. Because of course that's how he thinks.
This is a bad, bad 100%. Boy and you deserve anything that happens to you.
That's right. Fucking have it coming. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I am very, very good at playing characters who have it coming.
Let's put it this way. Every time Aram has done his like introduction for a character in this show, I have immediately and unwillingly, I did not intend to do this, muttered just, oh God, fuck you.
Yeah.
with the exception of the handful of times where I have out loud just gone, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
A way that I would be interested in playing this is like, so somebody once told me that demons are more or less just hell's prosecutors. Like their whole thing is they're lawyers. They're like, they go up to God and they're like, Your Honor, this man deserves 25 to life in the fiery pits of hell for this, and I have the incontrovertible proof. But they also engage in entrapment. So just like the normal law enforcement system. Anyway,
wait. You know what? First of all, I fucking love that. And there are many, many times I just edited a big scene in a show that I edit called Total Party Thrill when it ended, basically in a courtroom. A courtroom scene is a very traditional D&D trope. Mm-hmm. What if it is post whatever, post fucking post signature, post everything, right? And then the next scene is basically, all right, put on your fucking tie. We're going to hell court. That would be amazing.
Do we ruin the fucking premise of the show in that we don't do a fight? We just do the scene it's like,
it's a
just
fight for your soul.
Yes, I know metaphorically, but the fucking show is called Kill Every Monster.
You're using a ton of abilities. And you know what? At some point, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you my lawyer?
So what I was going to say is,
do you fuck me and then become my lawyer? Because that is perfect.
That would be really good. No, okay. I'd be prosecuting against you. I'd be convincing
you to fuck me and then be the prosecutor.
The entire point is the incubus made you do something evil so that you would go to hell. The goal is to get your soul.
Right. Okay.
You did the thing yourself. Right.
No, so exactly. I'm defending myself. Okay.
So the scene that I'm imagining is almost like the fucking cleric who at the end of his life winds up at the gates of hell and is trying to like argue his way out until the person you recognize shows up and goes, no, sorry, I understand what his complaint is. He's wrong. And he should be here.
Yeah. I have the receipts right here. I can call him out publicly if you need to.
Right. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it could even be just in the aftermath. Like, what if I did something that undermined your station? Like, you're somebody that abuses power, and I tricked you into outing yourself as a shitty person. You're coming back for blood because I made you do it. And I'm like, you did it yourself. You were in control of every single one of your choices.
It could become physical. It could be. We could absolutely do that. I really love this idea. I really love this idea of it being a courtroom scene. I think I have a way to make it physical and be a courtroom scene. It could be like you're the prosecutor trying to get me into hell, right? And you show me three different things from my past. And each time there can be some physical or skill challenge or fight that has to be resolved during that scene that you're showing me because you're physically there. You have like you're inhabiting all the people I'm interacting with and you're kind of showing this to the jury in order to get me convicted and send me to hell. So by beating me in these scenes, you're getting me convicted. Like that's how it can work kind of point wise.
I do like that idea because honestly, that's one of those situations where it doesn't even have to be like, we'll find some excuses to roll. We'll make the thing go, but it doesn't have to be a fight. It could just be like, it's going to be a handful of vignettes.
It also perfectly ties into your idea of being able to build the worlds around them. You're literally going to build these scenes, put me there, put yourself there, force me to interact in this holodeck that you've made.
Yeah, this is like Q from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
100%. Yeah. Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is exactly what we're going to do.
So excited for this.
Yeah, this could be fucking cool. I'm down for this. I'm down for this.
I like this idea.
Yeah. It's this sexy Q. It's Q you want to fuck. Yeah.
So Q. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and it's also
great.
Bisexual coded. Totally. You can't look me in the eyes and tell me Q wasn't at least a little queer.
The only reason he was there because he was like, Picard will fuck me eventually. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, that's what he was waiting for.
I would have done the same thing, honestly. Maybe that's why I'm...
Riker keeps offering, Riker, but he's just like, no. Beard. It's like, yes, it's easy. No.
Yeah. Oh, God. One. I still think the sexiest Dean in all of Star Trek. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he was an incubus to tie it in, but like, fucking Riker flirting with Whoopi Goldberg. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, that taught me some things about myself.
This is one of my grand blind spots as a nerd. I don't know anything about Star Trek.
You don't. But I love everything about Star Trek.
This is nothing against Star Trek as a thing. It's just like when you start inching towards harder sci-fi, like I'm a physicist, and it starts getting too much into like work,
right?
Yeah,
even just those little things where you're supposed to take certain things.
You My would biggest really complaint... dislike The Expanse. The Expanse never lets you stop thinking about the fact that physics are at play.
Sci-fi, it doesn't demand suspension of disbelief. It tries to lie to you to get it.
Yeah,
right.
It'll say something that sounds enough like science, but it's not. And if you can catch the flip where it's like, oh, that's where you started lying. And then the rest of the episode immediately starts to crumble because you're like, no, because that's not what you said.
You know, that's what happens to me when I smoke weed and I watch movies, is I'll sit there and I'll just be like, nobody talks like this in the real world.
The worst part of Ant-Man, the first one, was when they made a fucking little Thomas the Tank Engine train grow, and it burst through a wall and it fell on top of a cop car and crushed it, because their justification was that we're moving the molecules closer together. That's how shrinking works. And that's why the punch hurts so bad, because it's far more dense. And I'm like, okay, that's close enough to science. I'll fucking let that go. Tommy the Tank Engine still weighs about 40 grams total.
Yeah. Like, they're adding matter to it.
Right, it should bounce off and just go floating down the street.
Do you know what happens if you take 40 grams and make it occupy the space of a car? That's a vapor.
Yeah.
You could accidentally just inhale Tommy.
I still think, like, they really missed an opportunity by not ending, like, Thanos by having Ant-Man crawl up his ass and expand. Like, that 100%. Was, like...
100%. Like, we would have That's lost Ant-Man in the process, but
we
it's
would
a
not
noble
have lost
way to
Ant-Man.
Go. No, he would have lived, you think?
He would have lived. Like, he just grows up to the size of, like, you know, an AT-AT and just, like, explodes.
They basically did that in the most recent What If. Did you watch the What If one
I
with
did,
the zombies?
Yeah.
They basically
yeah,
did that.
Yeah, he does that in the Hulk. That's how they should have, like, defeated Thanos, honestly. But... yeah, we're going way off topic.
Well, they should have defeated Thanos in multiple ways, frankly. There's so many ways.
Thor
you
should
can
have
kill
aimed
Thanos.
For the head. That was
they
the
should have
thing.
Just sent Chadwick Boseman to space instead of Chris Pratt. Then we would have
honestly,
peace.
Like
that's still my favorite episode. Like I love
so
that man
good.
So much.
The thing that just bothered me about it was like it was exactly that. Like it was so good in general.
Yeah.
And then we had those things where it's like, you know what the major problem with the Marvel universe is? Chris Pratt sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't disagree with you. But also, can we just fucking do this show that you're trying to do? Just show me what happens with fucking T'Challa. Why is Thanos even here? We didn't need this.
Yeah.
They filled it up with like all of the other characters rather than just being like T'Challa centered.
Exactly. Like they made him into like a god of like he just wandered in and convinced Thanos he was wrong because no one had talked to him
I
yet.
Could
and that's
see
the
it.
Point
I could,
where
no,
I'm just like,
I buy it. I do
I'm
buy it. I buy
I
it.
Can't.
And let me tell you why though. Let me tell you specifically why. But I knew that he was cast as Black Panther a year before it was released. And the reason why I knew that because I was working at the Kennedy Center and his best friend was one of the film techs that I worked with. So I got to meet him and they kind of let me in. They're like, listen, you fucking can't say a goddamn word, but we will let you in and tell you. So I got to meet the guy, right? You know, like you're just around someone and you instantly need to be a better person in their presence, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to fucking be as good as you can because this person deserves it. That's just how he was. And he was the man. Yeah. Like, it didn't leak because no one on his team, no one would have said a word. They were that loyal to him. I've never seen anything like it. If that character was anything like the person, the actual person playing them, I wouldn't buy. I would fully believe they could convince Thanos.
I don't think you're wrong. My problem is what my problem always is with literally every episode of What If, which is that the most interesting part of the story isn't the story.
It's the question after.
And you're completely right. Yeah, he could have. And that would have made a really cool episode that would have been like completely believable and really interesting to watch a non-violent Marvel confrontation that ends. Because even the non-violent confrontation was Doctor Strange being murdered on repeat.
Right.
Yeah.
Like to actually have it end with like, no, T'Challa convinces Thanos that like this is wrong and you have a lot of power and you could do better. And instead we did a heist movie.
Right.
And to roll it back into like what we've been talking about, one of the biggest like pitfalls of D&D is it was based on the idea of you go in, you plunder the dungeon, you go to the next thing. Yep. They didn't really think of story. Whereas like, you know, we're fighting all the monsters, but like sometimes it could be social warfare, you know, like that's what we're doing with this courtroom. Like not everything has to be a violent final confrontation. It can be a deep emotional moment, and that's conflict.
It can be a contest of ideas. And you're very right about original D&D. Original D&D tied gold to experience points.
Yeah.
So one experience point per gold. It was literally cashing in on killing things.
It's where you got murder hobos from instead of like going out to save the day. Like that's why one of the best things they ever did was milestone XP, because you stopped having people go, we kill the traveler and loot his body, give us the experience points please, and like what the fuck.
Granted, I think that still falls apart to a certain degree because literally every ability is tied to killing.
Yeah.
So even if you can level up through like not killing them, but just like progressing the story, the reward is, and now you deal more damage and can shoot fire from your dick. So now take your increased damage and dick fire and go do a not violence, please.
It really is hard to not do a violence with dick fire.
The heart of every single story is conflict. Like, you know, like if I was told a story of like how Black Panther became Star-Lord and everything was good the end, like I'd be like, this is cool, but where's the story? Versus like, you know, you take a hero, you establish that they're heroic, maybe by like overcoming a minor villain in the first 10 minutes or whatever, and then you give them a problem, and then they try and solve the problem, then the problem gets worse, and the problem gets worse, the problem gets worse, and then they finally build themselves up, they do everything they can, and then they fail titanically, and then despite everything they succeed in the end. It like, you know, it's how Stephen King said, kill your darlings. And that can be through like absolutely anything. It doesn't have to be like every challenge the D&D party faces does not and should not have to be a violent physical encounter. It can be so many things. You just have to think, what is the right problem to put in front of them? And how can we give them a solution? And one of the cool things that you can do by throwing an incubus into your story is give them an easy solution to their problem that would corrupt them and yes. Then make it a monkey paw situation where like they got what they wanted, but it did not work out for them because they compromised their values.
This, for the record, Rom, is a thing that I wanted to talk about at some point, but at some point we also have to do like the special bonus episodes that instead of like killing a monster, it's like it's the DM dive into like, okay, what's a type of story that you don't normally see in D&D? What monster do you use to execute this? How do you make this story happen?
I like that. That's some nice patron bonus content. I'm down for that.
I would like to this fella should we should talk later about that.
This one
Mike is a good one, and I like his thoughts and the words he says, so we should make him do that bonus content one day.
Oh, great, excellent. I can make do thoughts and words. Do you mind doing thoughts and words for other things at a later point?
I love doing thoughts and words for things at a later point. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was an idea that was legitimately floating around for a while, and then we just sort of stumbled back assward into it.
Yeah, we kind of like we've been wanting to do something to get together for a while. Yeah. And finally we figured out something where basically I could do most of it. He could make sure it gets done, right? And then that was a perfect combination for us.
I love that sort of thing, because my 9-to-5 is making sure the thing gets done. I love showing up to just do something. Isn't that great? Time, right?
Trust me, I'm a physicist. I write fucking code and try to do science all day, and then we come in here and I'm just like, no, Ram, that's not how it works.
Sorry, that's not the rules of
you're the game. You're right,
sir.
Just... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's basically yes, my role. And then a bunch of editing. Yeah.
And then he does the editing, and then I just sit there and go like, you're a fucking wizard. That was cool.
Right, exactly. So when I'm super dumb, I can cut the parts out. It's a nice little balance. It works.
Basically, do we want to take some time and we can basically figure out what this situation is, basically who the person is, and then we can come up with, say, three vignettes, and then we can play that game?
Sure.
Or
I've got a strong idea for my character. That my character is a incredibly pious cleric, right? I had a couple ideas for it. Do you want it to be someone very bad or just kind of bad? Like, are they on the fence? Could they have a chance of winning this court case?
I think it's more interesting if they have a chance of winning, but that can be as much from like being like kind of a decent person to just making the case that it wasn't your fault.
Okay. Or that there was a greater good. Because I think if I'm like a character who has done bad things, right? So that we can, you know, play out these scenes where there's lots of conflict, basically, that I've done bad things, but I've accomplished a greater good each time. That could be fun.
Yeah, like maybe I convinced you to have somebody innocent arrested and executed, but by doing so, you were able to flush out the criminal or something. Like, I made you compromise your values for the greater good.
You gave me insight, and I burned down that orphanage, but I knew the plague was there.
Mm-hmm.
Save the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know, something like that. Yeah. At least you convinced me the plague was there. Yeah.
Yeah. What would my incubus be? Like, I have a couple ideas. Like, maybe it was your bartender, like a close friend or drinking buddy.
Yeah. Someplace where I'd keep going.
The best way to do this would be to, like, at the outset, we can have, like, our intro be, like, the court case, like, the court battle of, like, why am I here? I don't understand. Like, sir, it'll all be made clear to you. And we have maybe the bartender that you talk to all the time walk in, but that doesn't mean that it has to be the bartender that talked to him every time, right? You do the shapeshifter thing, right?
Wait. Let's even make it more simple, because this is going to be a pious cleric, right? So you're my bishop. You're my, you're the religious authority.
A fucking secretary.
Yeah, it could be not that even too. Necessary, whatever like, it is. Yeah.
Like someone you trusted.
Mm-hmm. Someone I trust in the organization so we can actually play within it and therefore reveal more of my backstory at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe somebody you trusted but didn't have direct power over you, because that way I couldn't have ordered you.
Right. You pass along orders, right?
Yeah.
But they're actually secretly coming from you. I just don't realize it. Or you're manipulating the whole chain of events. Yeah.
And then, like, you could even do the whole I was under orders thing.
Yeah.
In each situation, like, if we do the little vignette, then you can do a shapeshift. And it's like, no, I was also there. And it's not necessarily the secretary. It's just this person was always there, sort of guiding your hand a little bit. But also, like, I mean, I can hand you a knife, but...
Like, I personally witnessed all this shit because I could go ethereal whenever I want. Be like, you can't say you didn't do it because I was there. You did it. Explain yourself.
Why does this incubus pick a target? Do they pick a target because there's a point value? Is it like in The Good Place where they're like, this is where I can earn the most hell points?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and try it. Like, this is like, is it a greater degree of difficulty, a greater reward than for earning that soul?
So you know what my favorite scene in Good Omens is? Right at the beginning, there are a bunch of demons get together and they're talking about the awful things that they did. One of them comes in and it's like, I tempted a man. He saw a woman who was appealing and he lusted after her. Within 5 years, he'll have cheated on his wife and his soul will be ours. Yes, that's very, very well. Well, I saw a man who was greedy, and he realized how easily he could cheat his boss, and he stole a little bit of money from the register, but within a few years, he'll be committing grand larceny, and he'll be ours. Oh, yeah, that's... So, what I did, I went to New York, and in the middle of lunch, I killed the cell signal. You did what? Oh, no, dude. It was millions of people went back to their secretaries, fucking pissed. I made every fucking debit card reader in the city go down during lunch. Millions of people late for meetings, fucking pissy, taking it out on everyone around them. It's great. Yeah, I'm not sure how long it'll take, but like, trust me, man.
I made the whole city slightly worse.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be one of those situations where it's like, it's not, why'd you choose me? Hell, that could even be our little fucking end there. Is the whole like, why did you choose me? Why was I so important?
No, but your important. But your points. Look, here's your point.
People looked up to you. So if you're a piece of shit, the people who look up to you are going to be pieces of shit. Like, your soul doesn't matter, but I'll get a bunch of souls because you fucking suck.
Yeah, hurting you is just a bonus.
Hurting you, I don't care about you. I care about the 100,000 other people who are also going down.
Don't get me wrong. I'm having fun. This is fun. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I could have chosen anybody. I chose you because you're a lying hypocrite piece of shit that claims they worked for the gods when in reality you've been doing our dirty work.
Yes. Oh, it's so much more fun when you deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the whole, it's like, wanna know why you did it? Because you're a phony. You're a fake. You pretend to be one thing and you're the other thing. And I don't like that. And why you? Why not you? It could have been anybody. You were just available that day.
Yes. You particularly had this coming.
Yeah. Go be a Lemur now.
Why me? Is it because, you know, you corrupted the church? Is it because of the cascade effects? Like, oh no, it was easy. If I picked a good person, I would have really had to try. So I picked you.
Yeah.
Demon in Jewish religion is still a servant of God.
Oh yeah,
they're serving like an actual proper function. They're not opposing anything. They're doing a job. It's just that you don't like that job.
Yeah, it's kind of why I wanted to go to this courtroom system, is because like Satan just means the adversary. It doesn't mean you're evil. It just means that you are the adversary to humans. And like in the book of Job, for instance, if we want to go super Catholic in this, or well, you know, Job is actually a Jewish thing, so I'm not going to take that from him, but
I mean, it's still interpretation counts for a lot in all of these stories. So,
oh yeah, but like the story is basically about like, why do I suffer the way I do? And it's very foundational to like the ways that Abrahamic religions engage in things like guilt and suffering versus like other religions. And in that one, Satan specifically hangs out with God. He is buddy chummy chummy with God. Like, they hang out and he's like, this guy's a piece of shit and deserves to go to hell. And God's like, no, he doesn't. And Satan's like, want to prove it? I'm going to throw all this crap at him and we'll see if he renounces you. And I'll offer to like make it all go away if he renounces you. And then the whole thing is about how the guy's like, I didn't piss off God. He's just testing me. And, you know, that's kind of how the whole Christian victim complex comes into existence, is the whole like, yeah, bad things are happening because God wills it. And, you know, eventually things will turn out okay.
Mike, if you're ever in the market for a new podcast, I haven't listened to it in quite a while, but there is one called Throwing Shade, spelled Sheyd, as in shade him, which is the Jewish word for demons. And it's just a Jewish mysticism podcast where they talk about Jewish demonology.
Oh my God. I'm just Googling this now. And that is so cool. I'm down for it.
So we are 100% on doing like a little three-part courtroom scene, right?
Hell yeah.
I personally
opening
like
up immediate rest and just launching into it.
I think that's a solid way. How do you feel about it? You like that one?
Yeah, I'm super down.
I'm really glad we had this talk. That's a much better idea than anything we were coming up with, which was some sort of sex crime.
Yeah.
I think this also works really, really well because it also means that I don't have to write up any notes because this audio right here was my notes.